Welcome to Political Party with Adam Smith. We have a candidate for city council with us today, Richie Floyd. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Richie is running for, this is the Aster seat, right?
Yes, this is District 8. Amy Foster is the incumbent.
And so she's term limited out. So District 8 basically is north of Central. Give me the boundaries. West of I-275 to about 49th Street?
Yep, that's it. Okay. Up to about 40th Avenue, the boundary of the city.
If you know where Goodder Distant Heights is, it's some of those neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do if Richie Floyd is on the city council? What's going to be different than today?
The things that I like to focus on, because I come from a background, I'm a teacher, I've been involved with the Labor Council, AFL-CIO, West Central Florida Labor Council. And so I'll look really to hone in working people's issues, some of our workforce development stuff. We've had some things that the council's done already that are really good, responsible bidder ordinances, apprenticeship ordinances. I'll seek to make sure that those things are actually implemented fully as they've not necessarily been in the past. And then, try to expand some of them and make sure that plenty of pathways to the middle class for working people and poor people, less well-off people to get involved and get economics. Now, those are some of the key things I'll be focused on. Trying to raise labor standards in the city, particularly, for service industry workers. It's been very tough throughout COVID to just do these jobs in hospitality and restaurant industry. And so I'll be looking to try to support workers like that as well.
Restaurant owner, do I worry? What does that mean? What would you want? There was a wage theft that has passed. I don't know doing a whole lot, but what specifically would you be trying to do for say service workers?
Yeah. So as far as the wage theft ordinance is concerned, I'll definitely look to make sure that it has as much teeth to it as we can in the city. It does a little bit right now. Could use a little bit of help, but specifically I can things like fair scheduling practices, things that are easy for businesses to accommodate, but it'll make a real difference in workers' lives. So like there's fair scheduling ordinances that other cities have implemented. They do things like make it to where your schedule has to come out a few weeks in advance instead of the night before, allow you to take unpaid time off, let you know when you're going to be working ahead of time so that way you can schedule your life, give you some stability, if you have to take care of childcare or elder care or you're in school or something. Things like that that are don't really cost any money. All it takes is a little bit of forward thinking and we can make everybody's lives better in the city.
One of the that you've sort of been noticed for is you've got you do seem to have a pretty strong grassroots campaign. A lot of people pounding the pavement out there and excited. How did that come to be? Is this like a AFL or a Democrat socialist? Is that something that you were organized from across the state? Is there a recruiting effort for candidates or what?
So no is basically the answer to all of that. What we did was I'm just an activist and I have a lot of friends in the city who are activists and we've worked together on various campaigns. Recently, the $15 minimum wage campaign. We had a text banking campaign because we couldn't go out and do things in person. And, we had a lot of people from the area, Tampa Bay and across the state, come to a Zoom text bank in support of Amendment 2. We ran canvases for Amendment 4 in 2018. So we've just got experience at doing this kind of work. We've been, advocating for issues in the city. Some of the resolutions that have been passed recently, like Medicare for All and a Green New Deal in the city, were some of the things that the people that I've been active with have been pushing for. And this has been through various organizations like Pinellas DSA, Dream Defenders, and some of the labor work that we've done. So it's been coming. I mean, this isn't anything new for us. This is the first time that I've gotten involved in an electoral campaign. And I've organized with people who have this kind of experience for a while.
And you, am I right? You're doing a lot of canvassing and knocking on doors and talking to people, right?
Yeah, knocked on, I think, 7,000 doors within District 8 so far.
What are you hearing? What are people talking about?
Yeah, the number one thing on people's mind is affordable housing. And, I started with worker issues. That's one thing that I'm keyed in on, but affordable housing will be the biggest thing facing as time goes. So we hear two things. One is I can't pay my rent. And the other is so happy that I bought this house 10 years ago and not right now, because I don't know what I would do if it was right now. That's the situation I'm in. Really happy that I bought my house years ago because I couldn't afford it now. On my wife and I's teacher salary, we could not afford to buy a house. So this is the biggest thing that comes up. People want to know what the city's going to do differently. The city is in place, which I'm happy to see that we're even moving in a direction of making sure everybody has a roof over their head. But we can see so far it hasn't worked. We're going to need to do more as time goes on.
What would you do? I mean, it's just one of those very tough issues, and you're right, he's talking about it.
Yeah, so I believe housing's a right, and we should move towards more social housing, making sure that housing isn't just a commodity, you know, bought and sold. We should have places where people can get into houses either, and our public housing. We should make sure our public housing functions properly, because we've had a hard time with that in the city, and we should look to expand it. We should also look to expand things like community land trusts that take housing out of the market, but allow people to have a lower barrier to entry to owning a home, and make things permanently affordable. And I think, you know, when it comes to working families, when it comes to poor people, the homeless, we've got to coordinate better with our, you know, our plethora of nonprofit organizations that deal with homes, including the county and the city. And we've got to be better at coordinating those services and making sure there's, you know, centralization there.
So you would, you'd want the city to start owning property and becoming land, like the housing authority?
The city already has a housing authority right now. I'm saying we need to make it better.
You're not talking about, though, the city doing something separate from the housing authority?
I mean, we haven't come out with any specific plans right now, but there is public housing and we look to invest in it.
I guess I'm just wondering, if that's your number one issue, it's actually, for better or worse, a federal issue. So are you talking about a major spending plan to...
Well, there already is a major spending plan in the city. There's the From All For All plan that the Kreisman administration has had. I just seek to, you know, tap into funds like that, plans like that, and change the narrative away from subsidization of, I guess, people's rents and people's mortgages towards... making sure that it's a social good, subsidizing, you know, the owning of the properties instead of subsidizing, you know, a private landlord's profits.
Have you met your opponents? You've got Janie Mayo and Dale Kuplicki. What's campaigning like these days? What are you doing?
Yeah, so it's been interesting because of COVID. It's hard to get out. It's getting easier to do things in person. I'm vaccinated, and most of the people... I think all the people that work on my campaign are vaccinated now, but we haven't really had a lot of in-person events until recently when we've been camping, and we still just meet outside in a park. I have one opponent, but it was just over the phone, and we just had a brief conversation. I have the other. I mean, there's been no like candidate forums and stuff. You know, you back in the day, you would meet people at like, you know, a party meeting or a group meeting. But now it's all on Zoom, and so you don't really get to talk.
Yeah, knock on wood, we'll get back to that soon. You're a democratic socialist, and as you know, there's a lot of misunderstanding about exactly what that means. But there are going to be people that socialist word worries people. And frankly, that socialist word is part of why, a big part of why Donald Trump won Florida in the last election.
I mean, that's your opinion, yeah.
Oh, well, it's pretty clear. Something dramatic happened in Miami-Dade, and most people down there think the socialist tag that was they spent millions of dollars was a big part of it.
Well, I disagree wholeheartedly. I think I've been on the record so far as saying that Joe Biden came here with an anti-Donald Trump message, and I think a much stronger message is, what are you going to do for working people? What are you going to do for the people of this state? And I think that's much more important, and I think that's the reason why things... the Democratic Socialists supported, like the $15 minimum wage, still won with a supermajority of support.
Did you vote for Joe Biden?
Yes, I did.
You did, but you weren't too thrilled with him, I guess.
Been relatively surprised and delighted with how he's operated so far. I hope that he continues to go in the direction that he's moving in.
So I get where I was going with that was, there are people, maybe you disagree, but there are people that are concerned about the term socialist. And so part of your job, I think, is to educate people what that stands for. That stands for things like a $15 minimum wage. What does it mean to you? So far, I don't hear you talking about doing much different than the current administration does in terms of housing and some of the other things you've mentioned. You sound like you think things are going in the right direction in large extent.
Yeah, I think there's some key differences, really. And so I think everybody in the city, and the reason why our message has resonated so much is because everybody in the city really does want what's best for most people. The difference is political will. My campaign is not beholden to any large donors. We had over 420 people donate last month, $21 average. I don't have any donations from anyone other than individuals, progressive organizations, and labor unions. So when it comes to implementing a lot of the things that people all aspire to, I'm not going to have anything tied in my hands to make sure that it gets across the finish line. One of the reasons you don't hear me saying anything much different from a lot of the people in the city right now is because the state that we live in has made it very difficult for us to be able to do a lot of things. I think we're all aware of state preemption, home rule, the erosion of home rule in our state. It makes things really difficult on us. And so I look to implement the strongest things possible. But I mean, I guess what it means to be a democratic socialist is just to support working people's issues, make sure that, working people have economic security. That's the core of it. Make sure that they have a say in the conditions under which they live. And this campaign is sort of the electoral expression of that.
What's your broad view on what should be done with Tropicana Field and how that process is going?
So Tropicana Field, I'd say my view on how the process is going is it does feel a little rushed right now. And I think a lot of people in the city feel that. We don't know what's going to happen with the raise right now. It's a long time off before their lease ends. And so I would like for us to slow down and, get some more public input and stuff into things. What I think needs to happen there is, regardless of which plan is chosen, and we have four plans right now, regardless of which one, I want to hear like solid numbers about, how are we going to create living wage jobs at the site, and how are we going to guarantee that they go to people on the south side like was promised in the past, and how much affordable housing are we going to create there, and how are we going to define that affordable housing? And I'm going to be pushing for solid details in that direction regardless of what plan gets selected. And so that's where I'm headed right now.
Good deal. Well, Richie, I hope we'll see you out on the campaign trail soon and we start getting some public forums and some more additional local coverage and that sort of thing. So great to see you. Thanks for joining. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.